Oh, hi. Welcome back. I don't usually read the newspaper during the break, and you've caught me at it now. I'm only pretending. It's lovely to see you. My name's Julian. If you don't know me and you're new, I'm one of the leaders of the church. And like you, I do spend a lot of time looking at the news and reading it, and just wondering how I can respond. And it's so helpful that Jesus himself has given us a prayer to help us to do that, whatever is happening in our lives or the bigger picture of the world. And before we look at God's word together, we're going to say this prayer. The words will come up on the screen if you need them. Let's pray using these precious words that Jesus himself gave. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray you would help us to understand this, and we pray that your Spirit would move in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to come to God's word now and read from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. This is what God says to us. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Let's ask God to help us. Speak to us, O Lord, through your word. O Lord, we want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a picture of where God wants to take us this morning. Different kinds of dog are bred for different things. Sometimes it's in the name. So a deerhound was bred for chasing deer, a wolfhound for chasing wolves. Sometimes it's not in the name, but you get a little thing like a Jack Russell that was trained and bred for catching rats underground, and so it was small. Sometimes the reason for a dog being bred is a bit mysterious. I never really understand what the use of a poodle is, for example, though apologies to anyone out there who loves poodles or even has a poodle, bless you. I'm sure your poodle is lovely and has a very important purpose. But we have had border collie dogs, and border collies were bred for rounding up sheep. And for that, different kinds of characteristic were bred into them. And one of them is what's called the collie stare. And they were bred for their ability to be stock still and just to stare at the sheep. Now, I look a bit silly doing that. Let's have a photograph. Here's a picture of a border collie dog doing precisely this. And they have this astonishing ability just to be still and to focus and to stare at something without distraction. Now, that is what God wants to help us do this morning. And he wants us to fix our eyes, to focus our eyes on something which will give us enormous hope. First of all, we need to understand where we are already. If you are a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to realize that you already live in a room called grace. At the beginning of our passage, he says, therefore, he's already been talking to them about the blessings that have come to them through Jesus. He refers to the coming of Jesus, to Jesus' life and his death for our sins, to his resurrection, and to the way that the Holy Spirit comes into people's lives when they become Christians, so that it's like they've been born all over again. And the way we can sum that up is by saying that you now live, if you're a Christian, in a room called grace. Now, that may sound very strange indeed, and you may look around and you may think, well, this looks like my kitchen. Or, well, we call this the family room. We don't call it grace. What I'm speaking of is if you pictured your life and you gave it a name for where you're living, if you're a believer, you already live in a room called grace. It's very easy to forget that. And in these days when we're stuck inside for much of the time, it's so helpful just to be reminded that the grace of God has come to us in Christ, and we now already live in a room called grace. And if you're tuning in this morning, you're not yet a Christian, we just want to welcome you again. We're delighted that you're joining us online. You can move into that room called grace. It's wonderful to live in a room called grace. It just does us such good to remind ourselves of that. And there's something even better ahead. A room called more grace. And that is what lies ahead of us if we're believers. That's what God wants us to set our hope upon. Now, of course, it's great to look at the headlines and all sorts of things that are trying to give us hope for getting out of the lockdown and getting beyond coronavirus. And maybe we're putting our hope on something getting back to normal. And it's not wrong to be doing those things. But they're not very certain. We really don't know that they're going to happen. This is something which is utterly certain. That one day Jesus Christ will return. And this earth will be utterly changed. And those who've believed in him will be on it forever with no pain and with no suffering, with no viruses, with no lockdown, in perfect peace forever. And that is utterly certain. And because we all tend to fix our hope on something, Peter is very clear that this room called more grace is the thing that we should set our focus on. And that takes some deliberate steps. It's not just something that happens automatically, he says. He uses a couple of pictures to help us with that. He says, with minds that are alert. And what he's referring to here is that in the ancient world, people wore long flowing robes. They wore togas and robes. And those robes were right for just standing around and having a conversation, but they weren't very good for running, for example, or for fighting. Now, I wondered about trying to put on a sheet and demonstrate to you, but I thought it would look a little undignified. And so I was quite pleased that I was able to find this set of pictures. And you can see that a soldier would need to tuck his robe in, would need to gather the end up and put it through his belt in order that he could fight. And what God says to us is, we need to tuck some things in. We need to do all it takes so that we can truly focus on the grace that is to come, on getting to that room called more grace. Then he uses another picture. He says we need to be sober. Sober, of course, is the opposite of being drunk. And if someone is drunk and they've had too much wine or beer or something, it means that their minds don't work very well. And it means that they're wobbly and they can't focus on anything. And they're taken off in different directions against their will. And he says to them, he says to us, don't be intoxicated. Now, he isn't talking primarily about actual alcohol and drinking things like wine and beer. He's saying, don't be intoxicated by this world. Because each of us, if we're not careful, is taken with this worldly hopes, putting all our hope on things in this world. Dare I say it, putting all our hopes on getting back to normal, all our hopes in some sort of vaccine, all our hopes in some sort of trials and a cure of being found. And that is actually a form of intoxication which prevents us from putting our hope where it's most important, which is in the return of Jesus Christ and all that comes with it. Every single one of us, you see, tends to daydream a bit. And we have different things that we daydream about, some things we get anxious about, and we fear that something bad will happen. Or it's something that we're positive about, and we're longing for it. We set our hope on it. That's what our daydreams do. I wonder what your daydreams are at the moment. What God wants to say to you is start daydreaming more about the room called grace, the room called perfect grace, the room called more grace that God wants to lead you to. As someone who I ring up from time to time and used to visit, and in almost every conversation, this person who is over 90 years old would say to me, "Julian, the best is yet to come." Do you know that is true for you if you're a believer in Jesus, and can be if you're not? And it doesn't rely on an end to coronavirus. It doesn't rely on an end to lockdown. It doesn't rely on being able to resume your education or to get a job or to go back to work. The best is yet to come, whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 95 years old, because there is a room called more grace that will be more wonderful than you can possibly dream of. And God says, do all it takes to focus your hope on that. Here's a way of thinking about how this works out. Almost all of us tend to daydream a bit. Sometimes we daydream in an anxious way. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. Sometimes we dream in a hopeful kind of a way. Oh, be great if this could happen. God wants the main thing we daydream about to be the room called more grace, that room called perfect grace. And for many of us at the moment, he wants us to do something different to what we would be doing naturally and normally, which is to be focusing almost all our thinking and almost all our daydreaming on how we're going to get through lockdown, how we're going to get out healthily into something beyond the coronavirus episode. Now, of course, it's not wrong to think about those things a little bit, but most of us are thinking about it too much. And what God wants for us is to say, I've got something better for you to daydream about. A room called more grace, which is your destiny. A place and a room called perfect grace, which is where I want to lead you. And I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. I want you to set your hope fully on it. I want you to focus like a collie dog focusing on a sheep. I want you to stop being intoxicated and distracted and made wobbly by the positive and negative daydreamings about the things of this world, and instead to receive that wonderful stability that comes when what occupies our minds is a room called perfect grace. God is saying, you've got something better to daydream about. But actually, there's more than daydreaming. He wants to lead us down a road that will get us into that room called more grace, or perfect grace, that's better, isn't it? There is something for us to do. And we need to be very careful that we are moving along the road that takes us there rather than backwards. And it's here that we see the link between those two words, hope and holiness. Verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And what he's essentially saying here is, don't head backwards. Don't go backwards down a road called evil that will lead you to a room that is called hell. Go forwards instead. He addresses us as what we are if we're Christians, if we're believers in Jesus. We have become God's children. And he says, be obedient, children, because that's what children should be. Be obedient to our Heavenly Father. And what that means is changing what we do. Changing what we do so it doesn't look like what we used to do or what we would have done if we hadn't become Christians. He uses a picture there. Do not conform. Do not be molded. Now, here's a picture for you. Think of a mold. You have a mold that's shaped like a rabbit, and if you pour jelly into a mold shaped like a rabbit, you get a rabbit. Well, a jelly rabbit anyway, don't you? You can't pour jelly, liquid jelly, into a mold that's shaped like a rabbit and hope to get, I don't know, what you might have, a castle shape, a round shape. It doesn't happen. And there is a mold in this world that is saying, live for yourself. Just do what you feel like. Doing what you want is the most important thing. And Peter says, you need to be very careful about that. Because it's not a mold that produces a life of holiness, a life lived God's way. That's how you used to live, shaped by the mold of this world's thinking. Now, there's a better way to be. I just wonder if you're aware of the different ways in which evil desires are trying to take you down the wrong road. Don't go down that road. Don't even walk an inch down that road. Head forwards, down the road to that room called More Grace. And if you want to know what that road is called, it's called holiness. Verse 14 again. He talks about them living in ignorance. And we were in ignorance before we discovered who God was in Jesus Christ. But now we know. Just as he who called you, that's God, he says in verse 15, is holy, so be holy in all you do. As we set our hope on a room called perfect grace, more grace, perfect grace, supreme grace, there's something for us to do. We head forwards down a road called holiness. And that essentially means learning to be different, learning to lead a different kind of a life. The words holy mean separate. It means set apart. God himself is set apart because he's so utterly different. In the Old Testament, they had different things that were set apart. So there was a kind of lamp that you'd have in the home. That wasn't a holy lamp. The holy lamp was in the temple. It was set apart for God's use in the temple. Now, when my mother died recently, we were sorting through her things and looking at some of the tools that she had in her box. And I found some things that I hadn't known about since I was a child. In fact, some of these were my tools, so it's quite nice to have them back. It was a hammer that I got and a woodworking set when I suppose I was 7 or 8 or something. I remember it well. It's a bit big for my hand now, isn't it? But a hammer has a specific purpose. It's for banging in nails. I mean, you wouldn't use a hammer for cleaning your teeth, would you? I mean, that wouldn't do your teeth any good at all. Here's another tool. This is a chisel. And you use a chisel for carefully creating a groove in a piece of wood or shaping it in the way that you want. It has a fine cutting edge so that it can cut the wood and make exactly the kind of shape. Here's another one. This is a screwdriver. Again, it's a little bit small for my hand now, but I remember being given this. And this is for turning screws, screwing things in, screwing them out again. Now, there are lots of people, like me, who have used a chisel when they couldn't find a screwdriver, and what's happened? The edge has gone from the chisel, and it's been ruined. A chisel is set apart for shaping wood and creating grooves in wood. A screwdriver is set apart for turning screws. And Christians are set apart. We've been given this special, wonderful privilege of becoming like God himself in his holiness. Do you notice the way it says, be holy as I am holy? And do you notice as well that he talks about us being like obedient children? And the best way to understand what it means to live a holy life is that we are to be pure, as God is pure. We're to be different from things that are impure, as God is different from things that are impure. Now, someone may say, what does that look like in practice? The best way to understand it is us imitating God himself in his kindness, in his uprightness, in his justice, in his grace. And to imitate him like children imitate their parents. Each of us does tend to imitate our parents, don't we? It's embarrassing to admit it sometimes, but we do. And if you're young, you'll be doing this all the time. You'll be imitating your parents. It's how you learn. Sometimes we pick up good habits from our parents. Sometimes we pick up habits that are less good. But all the time we're doing it. Even at my age, it's still kind of happening. I had to fill in some forms recently and sign my name on them using my normal signature and then send them to my sister. And I looked at the way I'd signed it, and I nearly put a note in the letter to my sister saying, Diana, do you realize how much my writing's getting like Dad's writing now? Because I looked at it, and the Y of the Hardiman was just the way he used to do them. We do it almost unconsciously. And what God is saying to us is, head down this road to the room called perfect grace by imitating God. And that covers every single part of life. Now, I could list all the different parts of life. It affects what we do with our homework. It affects what we do with the washing up. It affects how we think about the future. It affects how we relate to each other in this time of lockdown and beyond it, whenever that comes. And I could list all sorts of different things, but actually I'm not going to do that. Because I think God the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you about how he wants you to go further down this road called holiness. And my hunch is that there will be one or two things, when you think of it, that come to your mind just this morning, just in this moment, just as we've been thinking about it. Something would have been touching you inside. Something would have been saying to you, actually, I'm kind of moving on the wrong road right now, aren't I? And actually, that's the right road that God wants me to go down. It may be simply thinking about the things of this world and the issues of this world too much. And he wants to take you down a road in which you're thinking more about heaven. Or there may be some specific things in your own behavior. And God the Holy Spirit is saying, that's not very holy, is it? That's taking you down the wrong road. Move with me down the right road. Why don't you take a moment just quietly to think about that? And to think about what Christ himself is saying to you through his word. If you're a believer, you already live in a room called grace, and Christ wants to lead you down this road towards more grace. There's someone who I visit, I can't at the moment, so I ring them up, and almost in every conversation I can remember, this person has said to me at some point, Julian, the best is yet to come. This person is not very strong and is over 90 years old. And she's not talking about me, she's talking about herself as well as me. God really wants you to hear this morning that whatever your stage, whatever your current experience, whatever the things that are bugging you or troubling you or giving you pain or irritation or uncertainty or confusion, whatever they are, you can head towards a room called more grace. Because for you, the best is yet to come. And he says to you, whatever else you do, as you listen to my word this morning, fix your eyes on that room called more grace. And then allow my spirit of holiness to take you there along a road called holiness. Let's take a moment to pray. And as we pray, let's be quiet. And let's each make our own response to the voice of God in our hearts this morning. O Lord, we thank you that in Christ we live in a room called grace. And that in Christ our future will be in a room called perfect grace. For your name's sake, amen.